Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3,
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
Here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Tuesday, April 16th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning. 855-839-1210, the phone number. On social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Don Stenzelin with the news. Greg Stocker is the chairman of the board. Phil Almquist, Anthony Dorenzo, our associate producers. Mary Walter in for Don yet again today on a day in which it is free coffee day at Wawa. Free coffee. Phil Almquist has already taken advantage of that. Mary, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. How are you? I'm kind of sad, though, because it's my last day.
Last day on the show, or just last day in general for you?
Well, as far as I know, last day on the show, but who knows?
I'm just checking.
You never know.
Need a little context these days. Gregory, how are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Doing well.
Doing well.
I'm fired up, ready to go.
Yeah, let's do this.
We have a show for you.
So you enjoy getting up at 4 a.m., Mary Walter? Like, this is enjoyable for you?
Well, I get up at 5.
Okay. But still, it's like you get up way more early than everybody else. So.
This is true, but I do have my pajama bottoms on. And, that's not true either. I have on like, fluffy pants, you know, like, really comfy fleece pants.
Yes.
And so it's I get to spend my morning with you guys.
Yes.
I mean, what greater gift could there possibly be?
So Mary and Greg both wearing pants and shoes this morning, presumably.
I have slippers
on.
You have
slippers? Wait, hang on, Mary.
Because I am not.
He has shorts on.
I've got my golf shorts on.
And flip-flops.
And I have open-toe flip-flops.
Show the camera, Nick Hale.
Right. No, please, don't.
Show the camera. Come on, stand up. There it is. Look at Mary, come on. Look at that.
I don't want to look and see if the toes are hairy or gross, but...
Full throttle, open-toe season through Labor Day, baby. And it's probably a little bit too early because, much like Donald Trump in Schnecksville,
I'm freezing my ass off up here.
Woo! little chilly, but it'll warm up by the time I get out.
You remind me of the young boys at the bus stop in February in shorts.
No jacket. Mom's ticked off.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right. It was, it was in the 80s yesterday. It was beautiful. It's going to be like 62 by Thursday.
Beautiful. Yeah. Love it.
But that's not short weather.
It's like San Diego weather.
But we're not in San Diego.
That's correct. We got a lot of good stuff to get to this morning. We're going to get to these protests right off the top. Then we have the big take on Donald Trump and trial day number one. CNN says, bye-bye, Charles Barkley. That show, that experiment wraps after 6 months.
Oh, my God.
We tripled the duration of that show.
It's true.
We'll get to that. Swifties are mad because of something Travis Kelce did potentially politically. We'll get to that. And Biden's cheat sheet gets exposed by the camera yet again. And from the cheat sheet to the cut sheet we'll go at 7:45.
By the way, just a little cut sheet preview.
Yeah.
You know John Mellencamp?
I've heard of him.
The singer? He walked off stage because somebody complained that he was being political.
Oh.
So he called them a sea sucker. You know, the C word?
Yeah.
And
no, I don't explain.
And then started playing Jack and Diane for the bajillionth time.
Yeah,
but and then said, I can't do this anymore, and walked off. It's an amazing piece of audio.
All right.
We'll have it at 7:45.
I love it. All right, so let's get right to it. We had yesterday all sorts of protests. What I thought started as a local story here in Philadelphia quickly became a nationwide story as Philadelphia, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, all dealing with these pro-Hamas protesters. So quickly, an update here in Philadelphia, and then we'll get some reaction and hopefully some solutions to what we saw nationwide yesterday. So yesterday here in Philadelphia, several people arrested after a group of protesters blocked the intersection here in Center City, Philadelphia during the Monday morning commute. It was right at the intersection of Market and Schuylkill Avenue, which is legitimately 250 yards from our building, I think. I mean, I literally come off of that exit, go through that intersection every morning on our way in here when it's still dark out. Organizers say it is part of A15, which is a worldwide economic blockade in solidarity with Palestine, and calling for an arms embargo and an end to U.S. taxpayer dollars funding Israel. This obviously lined up yesterday with Monday being tax day, and they were right outside of the IRS building in Philadelphia around 8:15 a.m. And then we get the update as Philadelphia police arrested 41 people yesterday. Pennsylvania State Police arrest another 27. In totality, it added up to be 68 arrests yesterday. And then, of course, we see, if you're paying attention to social media or if you're watching the news yesterday, throughout the country, all types of big bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, the Golden Gate Bridge in the Bay Area, roads to Chicago O'Hare Airport. And this was obviously a situation that was, I think, absolutely orchestrated, coordinated, and planned. I know Phil's got some videos that we're going to go through here. Yeah. I think there might be some audio to some.
This is the Golden Gate Bridge.
This is the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. Traffic at a complete stop. Stop the world for Gaza banners. People on the street, literally, and the cops watching. You get the police cruisers on the other side with traffic in the other direction that has been blocked by the cops.
How infuriating is this? Just
Mary, does this make your blood boil? It does me. Oh, no. Is Mary gone?
Sorry. I turned off my microphone because I was typing. I went down this rabbit hole yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can fix this. Give me a day.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Not even a day. I could do this by lunch.
No question. It's a simple solution. Now, I think we're looking there. That was Chicago O'Hare. We've also seen the Brooklyn Bridge, if you're watching along on YouTube. And then in Florida,
Florida.
I mean, they are dragging people out of there.
They don't F around in Florida.
Florida is officially the FAFO state.
Yep.
If you F around, you will find out.
Yep.
It will not be tolerated under DeSantis' watch at any level.
I have to give New York credit, though, too. Did you see New York? The cops came up behind them on the Brooklyn Bridge on the bicycles, like just swarmed them and just started grabbing them from the back of the protest so they had to run.
Yep.
And they literally made them run off the Brooklyn Bridge.
There's no question. And they didn't tolerate it for very long. You know what's amazing to me is we've tolerated this for way too long. If this was MAGA Republicans waving Trump flags, blocking traffic, I saw a great tweet yesterday from End Wokeness. They said, if MAGA was blocking highways, bridges, airports, and roads, the entire FBI, DOJ, and National Guard would be mobilized. It would be classified as domestic terror, and there would be 24/7 aerial coverage of it. People would get decades in jail, pretrial detention, and lose access to their bank accounts. It's just, Mary, it's one of these things, and you're right, you could fix it in 15 minutes, because in my opinion, it's organized, it's coordinated. I think they communicate via social media. It's probably a bunch of people that really don't know each other, but they're in this group on social media, probably with direct messages. That's how these people communicate. And I would say it's time for stiff penalties. If you impede traffic where you're blocking police, possibly ambulances, fire trucks, people going into labor, people rushing to the hospital because they're sick or dying, you should automatically get like 30 or 60 days in jail for the first offense. Up it to 90 days or 6 months the second time around. Put the fear of God in these people that if you do this, and again, if you want to protest on the sidewalk peacefully, that's fine. But you can't impede people's ability to get from point A to point B.
Agree 110%, but I have a better idea.
What's that?
I think that, you know, like the, what was it, the Brooklyn Bridge or what, Golden Gate Bridge, they had like cemented themselves to something inside the cars or some such nonsense.
Yeah.
You take the cars with the people, because they were outside the car with their arm inside, walk them over to the side of the road and leave them there.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Open the traffic can go by, and you leave them there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't let anybody walk across the bridge to try to get them off or anything like that. Leave them there. In Florida, when they were dragging those people off and they had their arms, what, they put those arms in those pipes or
they
whatever?
They were in pipes, and then they were like attached to the vehicle. Right? Like, I think it was all connected. I would impound everybody. I would impound the people, their arms, the poles, and the vehicle.
Leave them there. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Good luck. See you in the morning. Yeah. Bye.
Yep.
And because they're standing. They're standing. And they're not tough people. So they're going to be crying in a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
Oh. And in Florida, where they had to take them off 3x3, cause then put them on the sidewalk, leave them. They can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
They just leave them, let them bake in the Florida sun. Oh, somebody made poor choices today.
Boy,
you don't have to do anything
Florida,
to them.
Right?
You don't have to put them in prison. You glue your hands or your feet to a pavement.
Yep.
Leave them there. Don't spend taxpayer money mm-hmm. to dig up the road, to send them to the hospital that they're not going to pay for the treatment with their hands, you know, glued to asphalt.
Yep.
Leave them there. Let cars drive. Well, you can't let cars drive around it, but you could put up like a little, like a barrier around them.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And let people just go around them and, you know, throw things at them if they want. It's like this modern stockade in the town square.
Yes. Let a few road flares, put it around them so people see.
If you're a big sign, idiot here, don't hit them.
If your goal is to win over hearts and minds with your cause, I wouldn't do that with ticking people off as they're coming home from work or going to work.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Has anybody been won over by these protests?
No.
None.
No. And I know what they're going to say. It's like, well, it's to get attention to the cause. I get it. But there's other ways to do it without teeing off people who are just trying to get to work.
Yeah. And in all actuality and reality, I'm not interested in your cause, because when I see people burning this flag for the United States of America in our country, simultaneously waving the Gaza flag or whatever you want to call that stinking flag, it's a terrorist organization flag. So think about the world we're living in now, where you can burn the United States flag, wave a terrorist organization flag, it's not deemed a hate crime. But if you don't stand up and salute the LGBTQ plus flag, you go to jail. Really? Like, that's where we're at in 2024 now? We can just desecrate the flag? I'm talking about the American flag, obviously.
Right. Right. Well, you know, free speech and everything. But Scott Pressler, I thought, was brilliant. He said, if anyone is near any of these events, you know, where the drivers were stuck, please get some voter registration forms. I'll tell you where to get them, and just go from car to car to car registering them as Republicans, which I think was brilliant. But on a federal level, this was a huge intelligence fail.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's called A-15. Yep. Huh, what could that possibly be? But they're still 3 years later doing intel so they can go to a grandma's house at 5 o'clock in the morning with six Secret Service officers or FBI or whatever, not Secret Service, FBI with their guns drawn to take grandma to jail because she went into the Capitol on January 6th through an open door and prayed.
Yep.
And left.
There you go.
So they're so consumed with that, that they missed the intel on this. We're doomed because you know there's going to be another terrorist attack. And if they didn't, they didn't know this was coming, we're doomed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we actually have one more video with audio. This is K3, Greg.
Yep.
This is the guy on the San Francisco bridge who's angry and wants these nut jobs to get the heck out of his way. Take a listen and watch this.
Stop it! You get out of the fucking road! You're being dead! You're
being
killed. You think I care? You're in the wrong.
See? And look at these morons wearing masks.
Yep. What's infuriating too is there's only like 25 of them. You know what I mean?
Just talk to them. Don't shove anything.
Is it me or are they abnormally little?
They are.
Yeah.
It's a good observation.
Stunted growth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I love the fact that they're either wearing masks because they live in the Bay and they're just deranged, or they think they're concealing their identity by using the mask.
That's what it is.
If your cause is so righteous, then take the mask off, Skippy.
Exactly. But they're not brave people.
Yeah. These people. These cops have more restraint than I do. I'm like, all right, you get it, you burn it off, you get it out of your system. All right, get back to work. Let's go.
I enjoyed watching the New York bike cops just rip these people off the back of the line because they didn't know it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And just grab them, boom, and take them to the side and arrest them. So then they stopped jumping. They started jumping over the barrier to get to the walking part of the bridge.
Yep.
And off of the car part of the bridge. Because, again, they're not brave people. And I thought, well, that was brilliant. And then they started running. And I was like, oh, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Carr says, I think Trumpers should block traffic just once just to hear the news media give all the arguments about why it's so dangerous.
Oh, Joy Reid would spontaneously combust.
Yep.
She'd spend the whole hour on TV that night on that story for sure.
Could be worth it. I got to tell you, to watch Joy Reid lose, it could be worth it.
It would be worth it.
See, the most exercise her cardiac system has gotten in God knows how long.
Her Trump wig would fly off right off her top of the dome.
Oh.
All right, that's good.
The worst wig ever, by the way. It is. It not?
It is a bad look.
It is bad.
But it's election season. So
is it a weave or is it a wig? I'm not sure.
Not sure. Could just be
a dye
job.
Is it supposed to be a Trump thing?
No, I just think she looks good with blonde hair.
6:15 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. The Big Take, one of four underway for 45. Donald Trump facing a quartet of criminal trials. As we know, the January 6th case in D.C. is on hold. The Georgia election interference case is scheduled to start on August 5th. And the classified documents case at Mar-a-Lago set to begin on May 20th. But the biggest joke of them all is underway. Yesterday was the first day of Donald Trump's criminal case in New York City, brought forward by District Attorney Alvin Bragg. We call this the Stormy Daniels hush money case. This is a historic first. And also, according to almost every legal scholar, a complete and total farce. Here was Fox News legal analyst Jonathan Turley on just how much of a head-scratcher this case really is. Listen and watch.
This is a Frankenstein case. They took a dead misdemeanor, they attached it to a dead alleged federal felony and zapped it back into life. So many of us are just amazed to watch this actually walk into court because it's not a recognizable crime that any of us have seen. It does not appear to be a federal crime, but that's the theory that Bragg is using. So to go into the Wayback Machine, this state misdemeanor died because of the statute of limitations. Then what Bragg said was, well, I'm going to allege that you did false filings on business records to hide a crime. But he was very ambiguous what that crime might be. He still is ambiguous. But it is assumed to be a federal election crime. The problem is the federal government doesn't view it as a crime. They decided not to prosecute. And most election experts say that this is the type of thing that's failed in the past. So this bizarre indictment is now going to be an equally bizarre trial. And And to this day, there's some confusion as to Bragg's actual theory, as to what was the exact crime that Trump was hiding from all this.
So you have a dead misdemeanor, a dead felony, and no crime. Untested legal theories by local district attorneys who campaigned on getting Trump. The feds turned this down. Experts have said this approach has failed in the past. There might be confusion over the theory, but there's no question about the motive, that being the motive of Alvin Bragg. This is Alvin Bragg's 15 minutes of fame. Keep in mind, in 2022, Alvin Bragg reduced 52% of felony cases that came across his desk and dropped them to misdemeanors. Now he wants to elevate a misdemeanor to a felony after the statute of limitations has expired. Jury selection got underway yesterday, and if you think it's a level playing field, you would be wrong. Both sides expecting this uber-important process, known as the voir dire process, to take approximately 6 to 8 weeks. But of course, it's a slanted playing field. Listen to what Elena Haba, one of Trump's attorneys, had to say to Benny Johnson about the limitations that have been placed on Trump's legal team for the jury selection process. Listen and watch this.
And what was troubling in this case is that while we're doing jury selection starting today, one of the things that the judge here, Judge Mershon, would not allow us to ask was whether or not they voted for a Republican or a Democrat, whether or not they voted for President Trump, whether or not they work for the Biden administration. You know, there's people that when I was doing the jury selection in the Carroll case, were working currently for the Biden campaign. And I didn't want those people sitting on a jury for President Trump. And you, but you have the right to ask those questions. Now, this judge has eliminated many of those questions. You're not allowed to ask who they voted for. You can ask what news they watch. But I watch CNN and I watch Fox because I like to know what my opposition's saying. So it doesn't tell you what the status is. Now, when you're sitting with a president and a current nominee for the GOP and you can't ask how you vote, you're shot in the foot right there.
Seems to me a very important question that you would want to ask prospective jurors. You don't want a Democrat on that jury that is extremely biased and will omit facts and evidence. But of course, Trump can't get a fair jury amongst his peers in a city that is probably 90% blue. But that's okay, because the burden still remains on Alvin Bragg. He needs 12 out of 12 to convict. Not a majority, not 9 out of 12 or 11 out of 12. 12 out of 12, 100%. And if you're the defense and you're the Trump camp, it just takes one. Donald Trump not required to testify, obviously, on his own behalf in his own criminal trial, but he did say the following, quote, "I'm testifying. I tell the truth. I mean, all I can do is tell the truth. And the truth is that there is no case," end quote. Here was the 45th president of the United States yesterday prior to entering court. Listen and watch this.
"This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case." And they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
So what exactly is Donald Trump charged with? Well, in New York, it's perfectly legal for private citizens to pay someone off to bury a sex scandal, but business owners aren't allowed to lie on company records. And that's what Trump allegedly did throughout 2017 by trying to hide his tracks. Trump is charged with what's called classifying and falsifying business records by allegedly lying that he was reimbursing his then fixer, Michael Cohen, for legal services when he was actually paying him back for wiring Daniels the cash. Each count of first-degree falsifying business records is punishable by up to 4 years in prison, though it's not clear if prosecutors would ask to send Trump behind bars if he is convicted. Trump could still run for and win the presidency even if he is convicted, so say all of the legal experts. So what is Trump's strategy? How will his attorneys try to gain an acquittal? Politico with a fascinating story with the headline that reads, "The surprising strategy Trump could use to win his Manhattan trial." Ankush Kardari is a senior writer for Politico, but he's also a former federal prosecutor for the DOJ, where he specialized in financial fraud and white-collar crime. He was also in the private sector and litigated as a corporate defense attorney, and he says that the Trump camp could deploy two tactics. He writes the following. Trump and his lawyers still have two robust defense strategies, one obvious, one surprising. First, watch for the defense to take a wrecking ball to Michael Cohen, the former Trump lawyer key witness, in hopes of taking the whole case down with him. Then there's another less explored route, which is asking the judge to give the jury the option of convicting him on lesser misdemeanor offenses instead of the felony counts that have actually been brought forward and elevated by Alvin Bragg and his team of prosecutors, end quote. I would say that's a no from Trump. He is never going to cop a plea. It's not his style or strategy to tap out for lesser charges, but it would be an interesting dynamic if the ball ends up in Bragg's court. And to be honest, there's no reason to cop a plea. 99% of legal experts think this is a joke anyway from a case standpoint. And when you look at these prosecutors that operate like defense attorneys in big blue cities, I think a lot of people see what is going on here. And if it wasn't for the Stormy Daniels aspect of this case, I think this trial is a total snoozer. And speaking of taking a nap, we'll get to Trump and the reports of him falling asleep in court coming up at the bottom of the hour. But for now, get ready for a long, slow process where jury selection might not wrap up until the end of May, if not early June. It's just one of four, but it's the biggest joke of the four. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group. Explore the most desirable luxury SUVs with the Defender, Discovery, and Range Rover models. Schedule a test drive at Land Rover, Willow Grove, Westchester, Harrisburg, or Wilmington to find yours today. We'll come back and we'll chop this up. 855-839-1210 on social media at 1210WPHT. And of course, in the Kale and Company comment community on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Nick Kale, Mary Walter, Greg Stocker. We're back after this Tuesday morning. Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Nick, Mary, and Greg, 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in at 1210WPHT on social media, get us on the free Odyssey app and watch us live on YouTube. We're kind of like a TV show now on radio.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to describe it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Even though most of us on this show have a face for radio, Mary excluded.
Mary excluded.
You'll catch Mary on TV. You won't catch Greg and I there.
Who, by the way, admitted this morning she had fluffy pants on.
Fluffy pants.
I do.
Yeah.
Comfy fluffy pants.
Yeah.
She was in hair and makeup at 5 a.m. right
she
on
was.
The dot.
Yep.
Nothing you can do to help this guy right here, though.
No.
Hair and makeup
a little
work.
Powder for the, yeah, for the
just,
shine.
Yeah, yeah, I was just going to say.
Well, those, you know.
Those cameras really gleam that dome.
Stars burn bright, baby. All right, Mary, your thoughts on yesterday's charade, okay. Day number one. I did not fall asleep outside of my daily nap, but Trump apparently, according to some reports, was nodding off. I don't know if it was by design or by accident, but he was nodding off.
I would nod off, right?
So would I.
I would nod off during that. That's boring. Like, it's so yeah, okay, he nodded off. I get it. Listen, Joe Biden nods off in meetings with foreign leaders, so which is more important?
Yeah.
How we got here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy, so we know, right, that this case was turned down by the FEC. They said there was no crime here. We know that then Southern District of New York, Cyrus Vance Jr., couldn't stand Trump, big Democrat, said, investigated and declined to prosecute it, right?
Yep.
So there's a guy named Mark Pomerantz, a columnist at the Washington Post. And he, he's an author. He may have been a columnist at the Washington Post. I may be wrong on that. But he wrote a tell-all, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And he quit the investigation that Cyrus Vance was doing.
Yep.
All right. And he wrote this book, and he went after Alvin Bragg for not taking up the mantle that Cyrus Vance chose not to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote this book, and he almost, I guess, guilted Alvin Bragg into doing this, because the book made a big splash, obviously, because it's anti-Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So that's somehow how we got here. That had a large piece to do with it. A lot of people seem to think so. Now, the other thing that is bothering the Trump administration from yesterday is that the judge is doing jury selection
yep.
on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
When the Orthodox Jewish community cannot come into court
oh.
to be able to sit on the jury.
Okay.
The Orthodox community is conservative,
mm-hmm.
and they are big Trump supporters.
So he's already lost one little faction of potential support.
Right. Yeah. So the Trump team is upset about this, that Judge Mershon just conveniently scheduled jury selections for Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you take out a large swath of the few conservatives that could possibly be in Manhattan, that could possibly be, you know, help Trump out.
That's correct. So you're basically outnumbered 9-1, blue versus red, liberal versus yep. conservative. And now they basically just chopped away at one of Trump's legs that he had to stand on. He comes into this case as far as, you know, jury availability already only on one leg. And now they just hacked off the other leg. So it's right. like... How do you remotely get a fair trial? And oh, by the way, the request to change the venue has been rejected by Mershon as well.
Of course, Mershon wants this. They all want this because they want to be gods on the left. They want to be saints in the religion, right?
Yeah.
Now, you had said that one of the options for Trump's team was to be able to ask for this to be knocked back down to a misdemeanor, right? Mm-hmm. Which is yep. what it would be,
right?
But then the statute of limitations has run out on the misdemeanors, right?
Well, that's what I was gathering. But according to this former prosecutor and corporate criminal defense attorney, he is saying that that's one of the rare options that they would have. I don't know the actual nuance behind that, but I just don't. Does Donald Trump ever come off like a guy that's willing to plea and cop out? He fights everything, right? So it's just not in his DNA to take lesser, and I don't even know that Alvin Bragg would offer lesser, to be completely honest.
No, because this is, as we keep saying, this has nothing to do with the case. It has nothing to do with justice. This is 100% about keeping Trump off of the campaign trail. That's what this is.
Yeah.
He has to sit in that courtroom while they're doing jury selection. Because felons, you know, people being, you know, up for felonies, they have to sit in the courtroom for the jury conviction, whatever. So they're holding him to, they're not cutting him any slack whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that with my last point, that in March of 22, federal election regulators fined Hillary Clinton's campaign, her 2016 presidential campaign, and the DNC for not properly disclosing the money they spent on the opposition research that led to the Trump-Russia dossier. So they took money and they funneled it to Perkins Coie,
mm-hmm.
who then hired a foreign spy to come up with a fake dossier to interfere in our election. She got fined.
Mm-hmm.
And it was far more money than Trump is accused of with a bookkeeping error.
Right.
And they're saying, well, his crime was as he funneled it through Michael Cohen. Hillary Clinton funneled it through her lawyers as well. And this is why the FEC chose not to take this case.
Well, she's got a D in front of her name and he has an R in front of his. And there you go. And that's the dynamic that's really at play here. He's on trial in a district that voted 90% for Joe Biden. You have a judge who donated to Joe Biden, whose daughter has Kamala Harris as a client under a district yep. attorney who promised to get Trump over a hush money payment for an affair that the other party has admitted never happened. Here's the official statement of Stormy Daniels. This was way back on January 30th, 2018. Feels like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? Think about that. 2018, with all we've been through since 2020. To whom it may concern, over the past few weeks, I have been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at the Stormy Daniels, signed Stormy Daniels. Thank you. So she's denying that it ever happened. She was paid money to be quiet. Then she opens up her mouth, doesn't stay quiet, breaks the rule of the non-disclosure agreement. And these NDAs, I mean, I would argue that Trump probably has a suit to recoup that money because she violated the terms of it. Yet here we are. And we're talking about $130,000. And oh, by the way, if convicted on all counts, and I don't think this will happen, but he could face up to 10 years in jail for this. Now, like, you just look at the balance and the scales of justice. Does this sound right to you? 10 years in jail for paying an adult performer to close her mouth?
No. Well, of course not. And she cashed the check and then broke the contract.
Right. Right.
You know, so there's so much here. But once you understand that it has nothing to do with justice, this is a show trial. This is a Putin third world country banana republic show trial. Find, you know, give me the man, I'll find the crime. That's what's happening here. They had the man. They needed to find a crime. So they went, they got a guy who said he would do it. Even the federal government, they didn't even fine his campaign for this.
Yep.
He didn't even get fined.
Mm-hmm.
Look what Hillary Clinton did and got fined for it.
Yep.
This guy didn't even go. This is about election interference. The Democrats want to be able to bill him and scream over and over and over again, convicted felon Donald Trump, who's mm-hmm. running for president. That's what they want to do. And they're doing everything they can to keep him off the campaign trail. Because if he's on the campaign trail while Joe's in the basement, that's not good for Joe.
Now, I think yesterday there was a total of 96 prospective jurors. 50 were dismissed, and that leaves 46. They're going to whittle that down throughout this process. Prosecution, defense, asking questions, trying to get the most favorable jury for each respective side legally. Ultimately, there will be 18. 12 jurors will sit on the jury. There will be six reserves or backups, so to speak. And throughout this process, there's 42 different questions that each and every one of these prospective jurors have been asked. And I've got the full printout here, and I highlighted 8 of the 42. Let me start. Some of them are the basic ones. We're not going to go through those. But the ones that I think are interesting pertaining to this specific case and the context around it. The 10th question, which of the following print publications, cable and or network programs, or online media such as websites, blogs, social media platforms, do you visit, read, or watch? They go down the list. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, New York Daily News, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, Truth Social, X, Facebook, TikTok, you know, things like that. So I thought that was interesting because they want to know who lives in what silo, in what little corner of, you know, the social media, news media funhouse that is today's media. Then you have questions 11 and 12. Do you listen to or watch podcasts? If so, which ones? And do you listen to talk radio? If so, which programs? I was told of all 96 people that were asked yesterday, all 96 said they listen to Kale and Company.
Amen.
Which is
Amen.
Wild.
I was waiting wild. For that.
Which is totally wild.
Wild.
We're that big in New York, folks.
Huge.
So,
huge in New York.
So obviously, Mary, they're trying to figure out where you're getting your coverage from and if you're getting a slant one way or the other, pro or anti-Trump.
Right. But that's to be expected.
Yep.
Right?
That's to be expected.
That's to be expected. So that to me is not unusual. Have you ever, either one of you ever been called for jury duty?
I have multiple times.
Yeah. I actually almost had to sit on a federal?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I had to show up, and out of everybody that was there, there was three of us not picked, and I was one of the three.
Wow.
Yeah. Because those things go on for months.
Well, you could have just told them you do a radio show. And
we start at 6 a.m. I tried. They wanted nothing to do. They didn't care.
I had it happen months ago, I told
yes.
you about, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've been asked twice, and I've never actually even made it to the courthouse. I was dismissed on, like, the phone call you make the night before to see if you've been selected. And I'm like, yes. Although, you know, I would like to sit on one, to be honestly. I would love to be on a big-time case one day for, I don't know, 6 weeks.
With this job, it's never going to happen.
You're right.
I got into the jury box at one point.
Did you really?
One time. And ever since then, I never have made it to the courthouse. But and I got in, and they asked me where I worked. And at the time, I was working at Fox.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
And they are like, dismissed.
Gone.
That is funny.
You're out of here.
That was it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it probably would be the other way around, too. Like, I would think they would want anybody if that works in media that has, like, you know, not inside information, but sources and access to stuff.
Well, that's what I said to them. I said, look, if this is a federal case that's happening in Pennsylvania, I'm probably commenting on it on the radio, and I've probably said something absurd, like, give this person the death penalty. Mm-hmm. So you probably don't want me on your jury. They're like, nope, you still have to report.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay. Yep. But they ended up not picking me, which I think was good.
Yeah. Some other questions here. Have you ever considered yourself a supporter of or belong to any of the following? The QAnon movement, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, or Antifa? So that was interesting.
No BLM?
Yeah, I was just going to say, how about BLM?
No
BLM.
How
about the
Boogaloo Boys?
The Free Palestine Movement?
Yep.
How about that?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nope.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. How many Boogaloo Boys are running around the United States? Like 15?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, how many of them are running around? It's like when they talk about white supremacy. Like, could somebody tell me how many white supremacists are running around the United States? Because you know the FBI, if there's a lot of them, have numbers, right? Like, they would know how many.
Right.
Nobody ever answers that question. When I ask, like, okay, how big is this threat? Like, should I be worried? What percentage are we talking about here?
Exactly.
The Boogaloo Boys.
Boogaloo Boys.
Question 35. Have you read or listened to audio of any of the following books or podcasts by Michael Cohen or Mark Pomerantz? There you go, Mary. You brought up Pomerantz earlier. The Disloyal Memoir from 2020, Mea Culpa, The People vs. Donald Trump of 2023. So there's all sorts of podcasts and publications. So they're trying to comb through everything to find out who could be remotely tainted. And to be honest, you could sit there and lie. Now, maybe they'll scrub your social media and look, but is there anybody out there that doesn't have a slanted view one way or the other on Trump? You're not going to find an impartial jury.
It is impossible. I keep saying this. I've said this for months now. It is impossible for him to get a fair trial. It just is, because nobody is ambivalent about Donald Trump. Right. They either love him or hate him.
Yep.
And because of that, it's impossible to get a fair trial.
Here it is. 855-839-1210. And one of the reasons why it's impossible is because the media only portrays things in a certain light. How bad is the media bias by omission with the coverage of this case from all of the networks? Well, we've got the details from Media Research Center, and we'll give you that when we come back. But first, a word from my friends at the Piazza Auto Group. I will be going out there Wednesday and reporting back with new details on Mercedes-Benz and Acura. But by the way, have you seen the new episode of Kale Pool Karaoke? It's been out on social media for just about 11 weeks, and we filmed that debut episode in the 2024 Honda Pilot Trail Sport, which features a 7-mode drive system, Trail Watch multi-camera view, 18-inch alloy wheels, and wireless Apple CarPlay. So all of your devices can stay connected on the go. And also third-row seating. Perhaps your wife or husband have talked about that. Come standard. And you can explore all the new options on all the new variations of the Honda Pilot at one of their 5 Piazza Honda locations. Philadelphia, Pottstown, Reading, Springfield, and Langhorne, or online, PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, as we continue putting a bow on the first hour, Nick Kale, Mary Walter, Greg Stocker, as we head till 10 o'clock this morning. Did you know that the mainstream media is leaving out very important facts and information when it pertains to Donald Trump? No.
Shocked.
The heck you say. FoxNews.com with a story I thought was very interesting. Not a surprise, but I think it's worth putting into perspective and showing you from a quantitative standpoint just how biased it is. ABC, NBC, and CBS newscasts fail to identify that any of the Trump prosecutors are Democrats, at least 90% of the time, according to a study, Mary. And this was done by MRC Newsbusters, led by a team of analysts. And they reviewed NBC's Nightly News, CBS's Evening News, and ABC's World News Tonight from January 1st to April 10th, and they found that the networks failed to inform viewers during at least 90% of the coverage that District Attorneys Alvin Bragg, Fannie Willis, and Attorney General Letitia James are Democrats. And you say, okay, well, how often? Look at this for a second. ABC and their World News Tonight, 56 stories have aired discussing Bragg's hush money case. Yet sharp-eared viewers only once heard that Bragg was a Democrat. Same thing with CBS Evening News. 48 telecasts, none of which revealed that the district attorney is a Democrat. And NBC Nightly News, maybe the most informative of the bunch. They brought it up in 16 out of 59 stories, but that only equates to 27% of the time. So if you just live in that mainstream media news world, which most of this audience probably does not, you're not getting the full story here, Mary.
No, but I mean, wouldn't it be nice to live in a world in which it doesn't matter whether the party to which the prosecutor or the judge belongs, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't that be great? So you wouldn't think it would be part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more to this story. But then they'd have to inform their viewers of that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they can't go down that rabbit hole because keeping them ignorant keeps them malleable. And wouldn't Mika Brzezinski say it's our job to tell them what to think, or it's our job to tell you what to think?
Yeah.
You know, she said the quiet part out loud.
Oh.
And yesterday, so I got sucked down the rabbit hole of these protesters and watching that, because I'm rooting for them to bring out the dogs. I'm like, bring out the police dogs. Like, I'm rooting for the dog. And I want them to bring, and sadly they did not. But MSNBC and CNN were wall-to-wall Trump hush money trial.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yep.
all they were, and they were giddy. MSNBC was giddy.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, they're true, I hate to say they're mentally ill, but it's kind of like a mental illness that they're giddy about this.
Yep, it's fanboy and fangirl television against Trump, there's no doubt about it. Between ABC, CBS, and NBC, Alvin Bragg was labeled a Democrat in only 17 out of 163 combined stories, according to the study. 855-839-1210. Hour 2 is on the way. It lasted 6 months, and much like everything else on that network, it failed. The details, Hour 2 next on Kale & Company.
Start your day with Kale & Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.